in which we were discussing the status of Catholic University, the solution that seems to be the most feasible now is to have the bishops all withdraw their approval of Catholic University, that it cease to be a papal, of course, and even an episcopal university, and become just another university, whatever name they want to give it. But they would like to save the departments of theology, scripture, canon law, and so on, and to keep that under the aegis of the bishops. The problem is whether the faculty, including men like Curran, will allow them. In other words, it is a power struggle between men who no longer believe in basic Catholic teaching and the bishops who are on the fence. Pray for the bishops. Fourth, please comment on the role of married people in encouraging celibates to fidelity to their dedication. The role of married people in encouraging celibates. Oh, indeed. And they can give us a lot of encouragement by the struggles they have in living their married life. Obviously, of course, the nature of our fidelity is different from theirs. I will add, however, that if we knew more, priests especially, if they knew more about the struggles and the trials of married life, they would be far less eager to leave, as they say, the structured church in which they belong and in which they find life so difficult. And I'd say the same goes for many religious women who discover their life is much more demanding if they marry or in the world than it ever was in religious life. In this age, with all the subjective philosophy, how can we get the adolescent to realize that there are objective standards? Well, first, let's make sure we know what are the objective standards. And we've got to start using words, and I suppose part of what I'm communicating to you, and I'm just hoping that in our 10 or so days together, I will get some ideas across. But one thing I do want to get across is, you've got to be sure of yourself. At least know what is not true. It's like, even though you don't know exactly how to spell a word, at least when you see it misspelled, you know it's a misspelling. See? Recognize error when you see it. Secondly, we have got to help our people, our young people especially, to distinguish not only between the objective and the subjective, but to keep saying to them that you can no longer judge a person by what he professes to be. That the only true Christian and the true Catholic is one who lives up to the teachings of his faith. I'll finish in 3 minutes, sisters. What does a teacher do when teaching certain things are prohibited by the sixth and ninth commandments, and the student's confessor tells him he is not wrong? Well, what does a teacher do? First of all, I think you should do something. First of all, and I don't think you ever expected to do this. First of all, find out if you can. And no trust to the child's telling you this, right? As far as you can, find out somehow whether what this child is saying is exactly what he was told. So get the facts. And now this becomes difficult because we're dealing with confession, see? Nevertheless, I think a priest should be faced. And if you can't face him personally, do it by correspondence. If the child is not too young or could do it, or its parent, because this is going to affect the whole family, somebody then, if necessary, should face the priest. And you don't have to mention this is confessional matter. Though incidentally, and this is good to hear if you don't know it, The only one really bound by the seal of confession is the priest and one who would overhear what is being said. The penitent is not bound by the seal, right? So they can talk to their heart's content. Father said so and so. He said such and such. This is what he told me. This is what I told him. See? No problem. But the priest should be faced with whether or not he teaches or says this, and he needn't be asked so as not to give him an out, because he's liable to look for a loophole. You know what I'm saying? Don't use the word confession ever, ever, ever in questioning a priest, because he can't say a thing. If he does, he ought to be shot on the spot. I don't mean it. You know what I really am saying, see? But find out, see, from him. Father, what do you say? And he better declare himself. And he can't hide behind the Fifth Amendment. If he does, he's guilty. Okay? Then, once you make sure, now you may get from a number of sources where there's no doubt, maybe you've heard something to that effect yourself. You see? You've got it from unimpeachable sources. Then, the students must be told, the priest is wrong. And then you better know where you stand. And if you need help, get it. And I think we have now got to begin using this powerful sanction. We've got to begin informing the major superiors of religious and the bishops of diocesan priests about what their priests are saying, teaching, or counseling. And if you don't like to do it, I don't hesitate saying it, somebody must. And if you're the one who has the information and you're best informed, you've got the duty. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, you still have the duty. You know what I'm trying to tell you? The church is going through a revolution, and we better be on the right side. 7, what does place to sex education have in the elementary school? A big subject. I think the stress is on education. In many ways, we have been teaching sex education, sex moral education, sex evaluation. In the elementary school, I think the amount of physiology or anatomy, if not completely absent, should be so minimal that I would not hesitate to say it has, as such, no place in the elementary school as a school, the physical and anatomical side. Now, I want to qualify that by saying that insofar as moral teaching requires some physiological explanation, that may have to be given. Finally, are students such as those taught by Father Curran less culpable since they go to a Catholic university expecting Catholic doctrine to be taught and who lack the background to determine the logic and the morality of what such men as Father Curran are teaching? Oh, no doubt, they are less culpable, but I would say they are no less dangerous. Apologies for going on beyond the time. Let's pray.